Number one, my wife and I want to wish everyone here a very Merry Christmas. And it's hard to have any other kind. Amen? You'd have to work at that to have some other kind of Christmas. Thank you for being here this morning. We're in the book of Romans, chapter number one. Verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're going to be talking about the gospel this morning. And one of the things we're going to talk about is, why do we need a gospel? Why a gospel? Well, he gives us the answer here in these verses that follow. He says, for example, in verse 15, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then he goes on, verse 17, for therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, the righteousness of God, that's how God deals with his creation. Amen. Righteously. Perfectly. It also is what God demands of us if we're to have fellowship with him. We must have his righteousness. Our righteousness will not work because our righteousness is an imperfect righteousness. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of his righteousness, come short of the glory of God. So one of the reasons for the gospel is the righteousness of God is revealed there. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. There's the other reason. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There's two parts to that. The ungodliness of men and then the unrighteousness of men. The ungodliness of men is how men treat God. The unrighteousness of men is how men treat one another. Notice the order. Which came first? Godliness. The ungodliness. And the order means is this. If we will not give God his rightful due, we will not give one another their rightful due. Amen. If we won't treat God right, we won't treat one another right. Amen. And that's what he's trying to tell us here in this verse. It starts with having a right relationship and right fellowship with God. If you don't have that, the rest of it isn't going to matter. So, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth or hold down the truth or repress the truth or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what men do today. That's why, for example, we have evolution. Evolution is a suppression of the truth. Amen. The truth is God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. That's the truth. But they will not allow that to be taught. They say they want to educate our children. How can you educate your children if you bar from the classroom the greatest book that was ever written? What kind of education is that? Well, the truth of the matter is it's not an education at all. It's an indoctrination against God, against the Bible, against Christianity, against Jesus Christ, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. The word manifest means revealed, and God has revealed it to mankind. Where has God revealed himself to mankind? Creation, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It's everywhere. All you have to do is look at creation, and you know there must be a God. Why is that? Well, when you look at creation, one thing you see is order.
Right. Amen.
Order. Now, evolution says order comes from chaos. Does that make any sense?
No.
It's the opposite of logic.
Right.
If there is a design, there had to have been a designer. If there's a law, there had to have been a lawgiver. If there's organization, there had to be an organizer. That's logic. But man has become illogical in his thinking. And these verses tell us why. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. We talked last time. We studied biology. And when you study biology, what do you learn? Well, for example, you learn how the... Let's narrow it down. Let's talk about physiology. You learn about the human body and how it functions. And the reason you can learn about how it functions is because it functions according to certain principles. Where did those principles come from? Chaos?
No,
they came from a designer. Somebody created that. That's logic. And so God has revealed himself to man in biology, in physics, in chemistry, in any discipline you want to look at. If there is a discipline, it's there because God is. Without a God to implement that principle or law or design, there would be nothing to study. So we have universities today that are established because God designed creation, but they teach there is no God. Now, where's the logic in that? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, understood, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, who God is. So that they are what? There's no excuse for denying there's a God.
Right,
there is none. The evidence is overwhelming.
That's right. Amen.
In fact, there is no evidence to the contrary. Because that when they knew God, man is not evolving, he is devolving. He's not getting better, he's getting worse.
Yeah, right.
There was a time when the human race knew God. Eight people came off the ark. Those eight people populated the entire planet. And those eight people knew God. So what happened? Men who knew God decided they didn't want God anymore and began to move away from God. And that's what these verses are talking about. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What that word glorify means is they didn't give him his rightful due. They didn't hold him in respect. They didn't hold him in honor. They didn't hold him in awe as God, the all-powerful one. For when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. Well, if you don't believe there's a God, then there's no one to be thankful to, is there? But yourself. Thank yourself for what you have. I did this. I have what I have because of me. Do you know, without God, you couldn't draw that next breath. That heart couldn't beat that next beat. Everything you have, you owe to God. It's good to be alive. Amen. I'm thankful for the 74 plus years he's allowed me to have. And that's why I'm thankful to be able to stand here before you folks and try to relay to you some of the things that I've learned in my 74 years. God is good. Always. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. Vain in their imaginations. Their thought life became vain. What does that mean? Vain means it became futile or useless. Their thinking became useless. If you leave God out of your thinking, are you going to arrive at good conclusions? No. Are you going to be able to think clearly and logically? No. God must be at the center of your thinking if you're going to think correctly. Amen. So their thought life became vain, empty, useless. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The heart, that's the center of the man. That's where he makes his decisions. That's where his emotions lay. And it became darkened. In other words, he lost the ability to correctly think and understand the creation around him. And himself, who he is. He lost the ability to think clearly. His foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Now, when we use these pronouns, we're talking about the human race, the entire human race. And that includes me and you. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Word for fools there is a word we have today, moron. Professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Amen. They would rather have an animal as their God than to have God as their God. Now think about that for a minute. What power does an animal have? or an image have? One that you make with your own hands. What power does it possess? Wouldn't you rather have a God who can hear your prayer and answer your prayer? Wouldn't you rather have a God who's real and a God who's living and a God who sits on the throne and controls everything that goes on in his universe? Wouldn't you rather have that kind of a God?
Amen.
But their foolish heart was darkened and they became fools. And as a result of that, they changed the glory of God, or they exchanged, they traded it. For an image made like to corruptible man into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What would possess man to do that? Well, they do it today. For example, this season of the year is a good example. What's this season of the year about? We all know that. But much of our time is spent with Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This season of the year is about the birth of our Savior.
Amen.
Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
Amen.
Now, there's something to be excited about.
Amen.
I don't need to add Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to that promise. Jesus is enough.
Amen.
He's all I need. Behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior,
Amen. Which
is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. Because he came, we're here this morning. Because he came, we have hope of eternal life and a home in heaven.
Amen.
I'd rather have that. Than Frosty the Snowman. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Oh, folks, it's about Jesus. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, one who never changes, one who's the same yesterday and today and forever, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up. In other words, since they gave him up, he gave them up. What that word means when it says he gave them up, it means he turned them over to their thoughts. He turned them over to their idols. Just as you would hand over a prisoner to a guard. He handed us over to follow our own hearts, darkened hearts, to do what we conceive to do in the lusts of our own hearts, which is what he says here. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, what is uncleanness? If it's unclean, what is it?
Dirty.
That's exactly what it means. Bible's a difficult book, isn't it? Huh? Dirty. Filthy. Uncleanness. Through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie or for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. There's that word again. Gave them up, handed them over unto vile affections. The word vile means dishonor or disrespect. Affections means passions, lustful passions. So he gave them over to disrespectful, lustful passions, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And here's how he describes it. And now he's describing the depth to which mankind has sunk. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
Amen.
Notice the order. Which came first, men or women? Which came first, men or women?
Women.
Women. Women. Now, some of you ladies are going to be upset with me probably, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. You ladies have control of the moral climate we live in as a society, not the men. You ladies have that. And if our moral climate sinks, it's because you ladies sank in your standards. Standards of dress. Standards of conduct. Men depend upon you ladies to hold the standard up here. Because men will go as far as you allow them to. Huh? Because sexually, men are weak. Now I'm speaking generally. So it's up to you ladies. Ladies have a lot of influence on our society, for good or bad. For example, who sinned first, Adam or Eve? Eve. When God made a promise to Abraham that he would have a child that would be numbered as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven, and now he's 75 years old plus and still no child, somebody came to him and suggested he take Hagar and have a child by her. Who suggested that?
Sarah.
And Isaac had two children, Jacob and Esau. And Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob, and his wife loved Jacob more than Esau. And when it came time to pronounce the blessing, somebody devised a scheme to steal the blessing from Esau and give it to Jacob. Who devised that scheme? The mother, Rebecca. When David was on the rooftop and looked down and saw a lady bathing on the roof beneath him, David was wrong. But she was wrong first. Because if David could look down from the rooftop and see her, she could look up from her rooftop and see that he had a vantage point to see her. Are you with me?
Yes.
So women have an influence, negative or positive. And they've done as many good things. I haven't got time to go into all that, but for example, at the tomb, who was there? At the cross, who was there? It was the women, wasn't it? But in this passage here, it was the women who first fell into lesbianism, away from God, and then the men followed, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now, what does that word unseemly mean? Indecent, shameful behavior. Homosexuality is shameful behavior. It's indecent behavior. I heard on the news the other day that there are 32 sexual identities today. Do you know how many there actually are? Only two. God created them, what? Male and female. That's still true. Shameful behavior. Indecent behavior. Working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense. Recompense means what? Payback. That recompense of their error. Error means perversion. What they had descended into is a perversion of what God intended. God intended for sex to be in the context of marriage and only in the context of marriage. Anything else is a perversion. I'm thankful that I grew up in the generation I grew up in, because the generation I grew up in, there were very few broken homes. I knew one family from a broken home through 12 years of public school. One. You know, kids deserve a mom and dad. God intended for the kids to have a mom and dad. But today, less than 50% of marriages stay together. So kids are deprived of a childhood with mom and dad. And that's because we are more important than our children. My happiness is more important than my child's happiness. There used to be a time when if you made a promise, till death do us part, you meant till death do us part. For better, for worse, for riches, or poor, for sickness, or in health, none of that mattered, till death do us part. And in those days, your word meant something. People valued their word. If it cost, so be it, but I'm going to honor my word. We don't live in those days anymore, do we? Words don't mean anything. Why? We've moved away from God. We're going to see more of that here later. The recompense of their error, perversion, which was meet. The word meet there means unavoidable. That recompense, that payback is unavoidable. If you do these things, this is going to be your result. Amen. And what we see today in our society is unavoidable because of the choices and decisions we've made. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error or perversion, which was unavoidable. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, we took him out of school. We print perverted Bibles, so-called Bibles, which aren't Bibles at all. That's why I have a King James Bible. I don't have a King James Version. I have a King James Bible. Amen. There's only one English version of the Bible. That's this one. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad there's one. And I'm glad there's only one. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He gave us every word. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, here's that word again, handed them over to a reprobate mind. That word reprobate means twice judged or already condemned mind, to do those things which are not convenient. The word convenient there means proper or appropriate or fitting. Boy, there's a lot of that goes on today. Inappropriate behavior. For example, I hit on this a minute ago. I could spend a few sermons on that subject of how women dress. You know they put buttons on shirts and blouses. You know what those buttons are there for? To button up. I bet you didn't know that, did you? That's what they're there for. Women ought to dress how? Modestly. We don't see that today, do we? How do women dress today? Now, I know a lot of folks don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's the truth. Women dress provocatively. And then they cry when they're assaulted. Aren't you glad you came this morning?
Amen.
You won't hear this anywhere. You won't hear this on TV. If somebody said this on TV, they wouldn't be on TV again. But it's the truth. God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, that's sex sin. That's what fornication is, sex sin. And wickedness, perverting of virtue and moral principles, that's wickedness, for evil ends. Perverting virtue and perverting moral principles to accomplish evil ends. That's wickedness. Covetousness, desiring something that someone else has that you want for yourself. Maliciousness, perverting virtue and moral principles again. Very similar to wickedness. But that's doing evil to someone else. Wanting to do harm to someone else. Full of envy. We know what envy is. Murder, we know what that is. Debate. Now that's not politely in orderly discussing some issue. This is violent debate, arguing, fighting. Bitter disagreement, strife, discord. That's debate. We see a lot of that today. We do, don't we? How about politically? If you go to the political arena, the language that's used there today, rather than discuss the issues, you know what we talk about today? We talk about the messenger and attack the messenger. Doesn't matter whether the message is right or wrong, we're after the messenger. And it happens in church just as much as it does outside of church, unfortunately. Malignity. Malice. Deriving pleasure from the suffering of others. Deriving pleasure from the suffering of others. Malignity. Well, I wish I had time to preach a sermon on this next one. Whisperers. What's that talking about?
Gossip.
Did you hear? No, what did you hear? Listen, if somebody calls you up and wants to talk to you about someone else, you know what you should do? Hang it up. If you listen to it, you're a participant. Whisperers. What was it James said about the tongue? It's an unruly evil. Watch the tongue. I learned this as a young man. If you're going to say something about someone else, make it something good. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. You know, there was this old lady in the church one time, and she always had something good to say, and these two young fellows decided they were going to trap her. So they went to her one time, and they said, "We want to ask you a question about someone." She said, "All right, go ahead." They said, "What do you think about the devil?" She thought for a minute, and she said, "Well, he's persistent." You know, if you think about it, you can think of something good to say about anybody. Whisperers, backbiters, attacking with slander or libel someone else. Haters of God. Now, they become dispassionate towards God, but now they have become what? Haters. Haters of God. Despiteful, proud. I don't have time to go through all these, but pastors want me to close out right now. But I'm going to finish these. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There's another good one. What happens in this decline away from God? Children become disobedient to their parents. Now, when children become disobedient to parents, do you know whose fault that is? It's the parents' fault. They're not parenting. We had a cat. If I would tell that cat no, it would stop whatever it was doing. All I had to say was one word, no. We've had dogs. We could train our dogs. Now, if you can train a dog or a cat, don't you think you can train your child? But it takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. Are our children worth it? They should be. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers. There we are again. Your word should mean something. Covenant breakers. You make a promise, you keep it. Without natural affection. There's another good one. Mothers should love their children. Amen. We live in a day, you pick up the newspaper or turn on the news, almost any day you'll find where a mother has abandoned a child or left a child in the car. I mean, all kinds of things. Without natural affection. Mothers should care for their children. Huh? That child should be more valuable to that mother than her own life. Without natural affection. Implacable. Can't be satisfied. Nothing satisfies some people. Have you met people like that? We have them in our society today. No matter what they have, they want more. Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do they practice these sins, but they encourage you too. They want you to do the same. Well, that makes them more comfortable. If you go to the bar, somebody will offer to buy you a drink. You know why? They want you to be like they are, half drunk or out of control. They want you to join them. You shake your head, no, that's a fact. They have pleasure in them that join them in living their lifestyle. Well, I want you to know, I don't plan on living that lifestyle. How about you? Amen? Amen. I want to live this one. I want to live the one that God has prescribed for us. How about you?